We had Michael Goldstein on a little bit earlier, Republican candidate in the 4th District. Now we'd like to welcome in Jim Himes, who's running for a 9th term in the 4th, joining us now on Brian and Company. Congressman Himes, good morning. How are you?
Brian, I'm doing well. Thank you.
It's good to have you on. I always have like a million questions, and we got to put it all in 9 minutes time. I think before we before we get to, you know, all the big picture issues of your, you know, sir, your current outlook and everything going on from the presidential election to the Middle East, I think it's important just to give you the opportunity to state your case for why you want another term.
Yeah, look, if you're an incumbent, you've got a record, right? And I've been urging my constituents and people to look back on that record just in the last 3 years, right? One of the biggest problems in southwestern Connecticut is traffic. People spend a lot of time on 95 and the Merritt. After 2 decades of talking about an infrastructure bill that would invest in that, that would rebuild our bridges, we passed the bipartisan infrastructure law, biggest ever investment in our national infrastructure. That is right now transforming southwestern Connecticut in a very good way. I would highlight elements of the Inflation Reduction Act, which allowed the government to finally negotiate prescription drug prices for the Medicare program with the pharmaceutical companies. That's going to result in lower prescription drug prices for Americans. I would point to that bill's investment in climate change. You know, we just went through brutal storms, particularly in Oxford, Shelton, Connecticut. This is a record of actually having accomplished a bunch of things that are about making life better for the people of southwestern Connecticut. Last thing I would say, our politics are angry. There's a lot of rage. There's a lot of grievance. In the time I've been a member of Congress, I have worked extraordinarily hard, and I think most Republicans down here would tell you, to work across the aisle to make sure that our politics are civil, to make sure we're not eroding the sort of fundamental foundations of our democracy because we're just so enraged at each other. So like you said, million questions, 9 minutes, that's the Reader's Digest version.
You know, I think I can't remember which piece it is. I've been trying to look at the quote about trying to make government efficient. And, you know, my big honest, and you come from finance, Congressman Himes, so you know, my biggest frustration is the debt and the deficit. And I think there is, both sides have a machine and they try to keep feeding the machine. And I know a lot of friends who work in the D.C. area don't add anything to anybody's life and make $500,000 a year. I don't find the government to be efficient, but I don't know how much one of 435 can do. But like, are we ever going to address the absolute inefficiency of like spending in this country?
Yeah, well, look, I agree with the irresponsibility of running the deficit that this country has run under presidents of both parties since the days of Bill Clinton. So this is not a partisan issue. You're absolutely right. You know, in general, the Democrats like to spend a little more, and the Republicans like to cut taxes in a way that has added to this tremendous deficit. I would say that absolute inefficiency is I think, not an accurate description of the government. You said, what do? We got to start with some honesty about what the federal government does. And the federal government basically does two things. It's important for people to understand this, right? Because if we get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse, it will be fine. The federal government basically does two big things. It runs social insurance programs. I'm talking about Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid.
Yeah.
This is, you know what those are. Those are social insurance programs. That's probably, let's call it more than 50% of the budget. And then it runs a massive military for $800, $900 billion a year if you include the intelligence community. You know, yeah, it spends a tiny little bit of money on embassies, a little bit of money on roads, but those are the big things. So somebody being honest is going to say, here's how I'm going to fix the budget. And it better relate to those big categories. Or the other thing that nobody wants to talk about, but how do you alter the tax code to bring in more revenue? The right answer, by the way, the honest answer, and the only honest answer, is that over time, we're going to figure out a way to adjust all of those programs, including the Pentagon, to be more efficient, to do what they do with less money. And it's not going to come at the expense of, you know, people who are relying on that Social Security check or who rely on Medicare. We are going to ask the very wealthiest people in this country to pay a little bit more because right now they are taxed much more lightly than very, very wealthy people elsewhere. And over time, we'll be able to fix this. I know this because many years ago, we had a budget called the Simpson-Bowles budget. It was the one honest budget I have seen in my entire time in Washington. 38 out of 435 members of the House voted for it. I was one of those 38. So I think we've got some work to do, but it is really important that people understand where the federal government spends its money, because that's what you got to be talking about if you're serious about addressing the debt and the deficit.
I wish we could unpack that a little bit more. I'll move on. It's hard to win elections, because I think if you cut 1% or 2% from a military budget, you don't all of a sudden jeopardize the security of this country, but you can't win an election on that, right? So that's the problem.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. Jim Himes, exactly right. Congressman in the 4th District, joining us here. A couple of other sort of macro issues. You know, clearly the Harris campaign is, if not losing some steam, it's certainly stalling. What are you pointing to what's happening? It seems like Trump's, the wilder he gets, he gains in the polls.
Yeah. I'm a Democrat. When Trump was president, I was a vocal opponent of his attacking of the media, his attacking of our Constitution. I can't explain it to you. There are 70 million Americans or so who are going to stand by Donald Trump, even if he says that the opposition is the enemy within and I might need to turn the military on them. I mean, this is stuff that they don't say in Hungary or Chile, in dictatorships. But more to the point, again, politics are about what happens for the American people. I ran through the record of Joe Biden and the Democrats working with him. And by the way, I used the word bipartisan a bunch of times. Bipartisan infrastructure law, the CHIPS Act, which is moving manufacturing back here, the PACT Act for our veterans. It goes on and on and on. When Donald Trump was president, what did he do? There was one accomplishment, one. And I put that accomplishment in quotes. That was the tax reform, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, which took 83% of its tax cuts and handed that 83% to the top 1% of income earners in the country. At the end of the day, for all the noise, for all the crazy stuff on cable TV and social media, you got to think about which party and which president actually did things that are going to make my life better. And I think if you think about it that way, the choice in this presidential election is pretty clear.
Yeah, a lot of people would disagree as it relates to affordability and immigration, but we're not going to take a deep dive in there, because your opponent, we had Michael Goldstein on earlier, he was pretty critical of your support for Israel. And I just, it's interesting with the intelligence community outside of the, obviously there's a huge humanitarian issue going on. But what Israel's done in response to try to, sort of hurt their enemies has been kind of unbelievable. But just give us your take on what should happen now, especially since the, some of the heads of these terrorist groups have now been eliminated.
Yeah, and let me be very clear. It was not my intention to talk about Michael Goldstein, but he has absolutely no idea what he's talking about. As a member of Congress, I have been to Israel many times. Every single time the opportunity has come up to vote for aid to Israel, I have voted yes, and I have been extremely clear about two things. Number one, after October 7th, a year ago, Israel absolutely has the right to defend itself, full stop. Any country attacked the way Israel was attacked by the brutal terrorists of Hamas would do what we did after 9/11, go after the people who did that. It's also, just like the U.S. has an obligation to abide by humanitarian laws, to make sure that food and medicine and gets into places where there are wars being fought, to make sure that the number of civilian casualties is smaller. It's also true that Israel has that obligation. Every decent country does. By the way, Israel is our friend because they're a decent country and a fellow democracy. So, I've been 100% clear on this all along, which is that Israel has a right to defend itself. I will continue to support Israel. But as I urge Israeli officials when I meet them, guys, you got to do this in a way with more attention to food getting in, to medicine getting into Gaza, and with absolutely minimizing the deaths of civilians. I don't know what Michael Goldstein's talking about, but I don't think he's got much to talk about.
Yeah, I'm giving equal time to the best of my ability, Congressman. I appreciate the time and best of luck, and we look forward to catching up again soon.
Thanks a lot. Take care.